I want to take the opportunity to introduce Lynn Roberts. I hope the bio is okay. Okay. It's from the APHA website, I promise. Dr. Lynn Roberts is an assistant professor in the community health program. I'm sorry, I'm blind as a bat. In the Hunter College School of Urban Public Health, which is a consortium campus of the CUNY School of Public Health. She has a BS in Human Development from Howard University and a PhD in Human Service Studies from Cornell University. And I am fascinated by her research description. I'm so excited to learn more because her current activism and scholarships includes an examination of the intersection of race, class, and gender in sexual and reproductive health. So basically, I just want to be in all of your classes.
You're very welcome.
I wish there was more light, but I'm going to read to stay on time because if I don't, I know I'll go over. I'm known to do that. Can you hear me? Is that good? All right. So I have nothing to disclose. I just also want to acknowledge my co-authors, Olivia Orta, who is a doctoral candidate up in the epidemiology department at Harvard, and also Brenda Seals. And let me just say, Olivia was also, at the time of this research that I'm sharing today, in our MPH program. So I just want to toot the horn of my home institution. Funded through several grants over time, and also that I'm sharing the survey that was part of a mixed method study, and on Wednesday morning I'll be presenting the qualitative focus group data. And then these were folks who supported this research along the way. So just also, a lot of hands have been in this pot. Some background, just want to say that at the time of the study, there was disproportionate representation of African American and Latina girls in intimate partner violence and HIV, and that these trends have persisted. So just to give you some of the highlights, that 8% of women killed by their intimate partners were teenagers in 1999 in New York City. I think the disproportionate impact of HIV on young women of color is well established, and that particular neighborhoods also, including the one where this study took place, were also heavily impacted by HIV. So I want to introduce a theoretical framework for this research. It's an examination of the relationship between multiple oppressions of race, class, and gender in intimate partner violence and also HIV-related sexual risk-taking, which we believe can be moderated by the development of critical consciousness. And this framework was informed by the work of several scholars across different disciplines. Dr. Maria Yellow Horse Braveheart conceptualized historical trauma in the 1980s as cumulative emotional and psychological wounding over the lifespan and across generations, emanating from massive group trauma experiences. The effects of historical trauma include unsettled emotional trauma, depression, high mortality rates, high rates of alcohol abuse, significant problems of child abuse and domestic violence in the indigenous or Native American populations of the United States. Dr. Joy DeGree's theory of post-traumatic slave syndrome posits that centuries of slavery in the United States, followed by systemic and structural racism and oppression, have resulted in multi-generational maladaptive behaviors which originated as survival strategies. The syndrome continues because children whose parents suffer from PTSS will often be indoctrinated into the same behaviors long after those same behaviors have lost their contextual effectiveness. The term intersectionality was first coined by critical race legal scholar Kimberly Crenshaw and later expounded upon by Patricia Hill Collins in her seminal book, Black Feminist Thought, Knowledge, Consciousness, and the Politics of Empowerment. And this framework, you know, for creating new worldviews out of a need for self-definition and to be able to work on behalf of social justice is significant here. Given the complete, let me just go back a moment. Given the complexity of intersectionality, the methodological and explanatory framework for linking these three axes of identity, race, class, and gender, and difference remains elusive. Relying on self-report surveys such as reported here, and collected youth narratives, which will be reported in another session, this multi-method study is our modest attempt to chart this unexplored territory in the context of youth dating violence. And then finally, theoretically, this study is informed through the pioneering work of Dr. Rafael Diaz and George Ayala, who have advocated for HIV prevention efforts that contextualize risk in the lived experience of marginalized groups. And they did find in their study of Latino gay men that the experience of triple oppressions, homophobia, racism, and financial hardship are more likely to be at high risk for HIV. And then finally, this study does consider also the conceptual framing of oppression by Roderick Watts, who is now my colleague at Hunter College, previously at Georgia State University. And so there is also an intervention tied to this study that had a small intervention that I won't speak about today, but it was informed by this framework, which basically says that there are different aspects of oppression that can be teased out in terms of stages of critical consciousness development, and that they're not linear, these stages. You can move through them and backwards and cyclically, but it informed the intervention that was also tied to the study. So I mention it here as an aspiration, also in my quest to measure that. So the study itself was to probe the relationships between experience discrimination, dating violence, and sexual risk-taking. We administered a survey using a CASI. Students sat in their health classes and completed the survey on computers in high schools, primarily in the South Bronx and a few community settings. Selected measures included Nancy Krieger's measures to probe the experience discrimination based on race, class, and gender, and also Foshi's youth dating violence survey. I won't read all of these, but basically we had several hypotheses to test, which included whether or not students experience more oppression, would also report more dating violence. We made some gender assumptions, that males would be more likely to be perpetrators and females victims, so I'm much interested in Heather's work on that topic, and we had similar results, actually. And then also that this would that they would also report different levels of sexual risk-taking based on their experience of dating violence. And the conceptual model of this was to we hypothesized a direct relationship between oppression and sexual risk-taking, and IPV, and also that we wanted to, that we believe that this experience of oppression, as I mentioned, could be moderated by critical consciousness. And these different aspects of critical consciousness, of system blame and group identity and self-efficacy and social action, is beyond what I'm here to talk to today, but I just want you to be aware of the full conceptual model. So now I'm going to go over the major findings of the surveys. So in terms of our sample, the mean age among the sample of youth was 16. Most were female, and most were Hispanic and or Black. And we deliberately, worked in a high school that was the population primarily served. The experience of discrimination was highly prevalent among the sample of youth at 77%. The mean age of youth significantly differed comparing those with any experience to those without of discrimination, as those who experienced any discrimination were on average 1 year older than those without, which also makes sense because you're older, you have had more experiences. In looking at experiences of dating violence and discrimination, the racial discrimination was most commonly reported of types of discrimination. I don't report on the class discrimination here, which is difficult to measure with adolescents because, one, they don't have their own income. I won't go into it, but we only looked at racial and gender for the purposes of this presentation. 66% of the youth reported racial discrimination, shown here in the blue columns. And the red shows where the associations reached statistical significance at the 0.05 level, comparing within the two discrimination groups. Youth who reported being racially discriminated against were on average older than those who did not, and were more likely to report more experience of dating violence and sexual partners. Gender discrimination was reported by nearly half, at 48% of the youth, and shown here in the white columns. Youth who reported being discriminated against because of their gender did not differ from those who did not by age or by number of sexual experiences. However, they were more likely to report more experiences of dating violence. And overall, youth reporting either racial or gender discrimination were more likely to experience dating violence. Here, looking at experience discrimination and violence, both as victim and perpetrator, the majority of youth were both victims and perpetrators at 85%. Due to the extent of this co-occurrence in our sample, we could not explore differences in those who reported being victims from those who were perpetrators. However, here we attempt to show that experiences of types of dating violence and discrimination were similar as expected. Experiences with emotional abuse was reported by almost all participants, 95%, and almost all perpetrated it to some extent, 99%. Physical and sexual abuse were also common at 72% and at 21%. And racial discrimination is consistently the most common discrimination, followed by gender and class. Youth commonly reported more than one dating violence or discrimination, which explains why these percentages don't sum up to 100. So, for our logistic regression for discrimination and dating violence, we show the age-adjusted regression models for the association between experiences with discrimination, both any and number, and dating violence. And the red shows where the associations reach statistical significance at the 0.05 level. We see that racial and gender discrimination are associated with increased odds of physical violence, although none reach statistical significance. However, we saw 40% increased odds of experiencing sexual violence per one unit increase in experience with racial discrimination, where you see the odds ratio 1.4 in red. And we see a more than twofold increased odds in experiences of sexual violence when individuals report both racial and gender discrimination compared to those reporting only one or none, showing the importance of intersectionality of race and gender on dating violence. However, we have to be very careful because we had very small ends. So looking at dating violence and what turned up as the best indicator of HIV risk was multiple partners. All individuals who reported sexual violence also reported physical violence, and that was an N of 32, which was 29% of our study population. And here we see that physical and sexual dating violence are positively associated with risky sexual behavior in the form of multiple sexual partners in adjusted linear regression models, and that the level of association is strongest. Did I not advance, or did I? I'm sorry. Yes. Is strongest. I'm sorry, I just lost my spot. Okay. Among those having experienced sexual violence. And finally, the model we found a link between experienced discrimination, dating violence, and having multiple sexual partners, which is a recognized risk for HIV, and the associations at the 0.05 level. So I'm just going to skip ahead, get past the statistics to say that our exploratory model suggests that young people who are older and thus have experienced more discrimination based on race and gender, what we call intersectionality, are also more likely to experience dating violence and have multiple sex partners. These cumulative and intersectional effects of discrimination over the lifespan may be contributing to their higher risk for HIV. And I just want to point out some other aspects. I won't have time here to share that in the qualitative research that we did develop some vignettes to test a measure of critical consciousness. So I'll share that in the other presentation. And finally, that we think that basically we could do a lot more in terms of examining these more complex ways in which youth dating violence happens for particularly vulnerable groups or marginalized groups, and that those studies, using multiple methods, contextualizing it in, very geographically diverse areas, longitudinal study designs, and also including intervention studies to test out models. And as I said, I do have an intervention that examines how the development of critical consciousness and different approaches to intervening with high school students. So thank you.